I was involved in lots of different aspects of motorsport. There's a lot of facets to it. There's motor racing, rallying, hill climb, sprints, economy runs, navigation runs, auto crossing, which is racing on grass, and auto tests, which is driving tests against the clock.
Is that where they used to do those in the RDS, Larry, with the minis, and they had to handbrakers and things like that and pull them in?
Yeah. Well, that's correct. That's the type of thing it is. And I was captain of the Irish team doing that for 13 years. But I did that type of auto test from about 1956 into the 70s. I was at least 20 years doing that.
And Larry, it didn't just begin with the racing or the rally driving. Your history with cars, it has gone back very far into actually Irish history and, in fact, automobile history, because you were linked to, of course, the time of the days of the Beetle being built here in Ireland, the Volkswagen Beetle, is that right?
Well, first of all, my father originally was a school teacher, and he wanted his only son, who he wanted me to do engineering, but I wasn't unhappy about that in a sense, but it had to be cars, and he was very upset when I said I just wanted to work on cars. So I went off, and my mother knew a friend of Stephen O'Flaherty, who was the man who brought Volkswagen Beetles into Ireland around 1949-50, and that they started the assembly of Beetles in Ballsbridge Motors, which was the first, this was the first country outside of Germany for Volkswagen to build cars. And so I was there at the beginning. I worked on the very first Beetle and drove it many times and fixed it up several times. It's now in a museum in Germany, in Wolfsburg. But I served my time as a mechanic in Ballsbridge Motors. And my love affair was with cars from the start. And a lot of people don't realise that the name Paddy Hopkirk is very famous with minis. But Paddy Hopkirk went to Trinity College with one of the O'Flaherty's, Michael, to be exact. And Paddy was a salesman in Ballsbridge Motors, and he drove Beetles for about 5 years and won many rallies and championships driving Beetles. But I used to prepare Paddy Hopkirk's cars.
But your love affair wasn't just with cars, of course, because you're interested in music, you're interested in racing, and also you used to teach in the DIT, is that right?
Well, I taught for a little while, but not very long. But but one of the things, I've always been interested in Irish music and the Irish language. I have a really good love of it, and I wish my Irish was a lot better than it is, but I just find it a fascinating language. My mother and father had none, but I've always had this love of it. And I did Ceilidh dancing. I did competition Ceilidh dancing and won medals at that as well. But the thing I bring out to people about Irish dancing as such, a lot of people don't realise when competitive drivers who are driving, they're actually dancing on the pedals. It's not just their hands movements. So the feet movements, in actual fact, are more critical, but people don't see them. But if you ever saw a rally film of drivers' feet, they're dancing like mad on the pedals. And so if you even injure yourself, your feet are more critical than your hands. And just to put it in perspective, Irish, the rally champion of the world some years ago, his name is Petter Solberg, he was a Swedish disco champion. Feet, your dexterity of your feet is critical. Like you've probably never heard the expression of heel and toe, where you put your toe on the brake pedal and your heel on the accelerator, and you're changing gear and things like that. But now, with what they call sequential boxes, some of this practice isn't used so much as it was in the past, you know.
And that's not really the only, they're not your only passions as well. You're a man of your faith, isn't that right?
Well, anything I've succeeded in, I honestly thank the man above. I wouldn't be able to do the things I did without him. I really mean that, sincerely. Back in the late 40s, I lived in a place called Monkstown Farm. And it was at a time when neon lights did not exist. And at right angles in a house in Monkstown Farm, there were 100 people gathered and looked and saw this light. It was in a corner. It was about 5 foot tall and about 2 foot wide. And it was like a statue of the Blessed Virgin, but the statue was not there. And because of that sort of apparition, but that's all it was, a light, but it was, nobody knows where it came from. But as I say, there's at least 100 people, including myself, watched this for maybe half an hour or more and don't know what caused it. So in Monkstown Farm, there's a statue which was erected in Marion year in 1954, I think. And it was mainly because of this little occurrence of light in Monkstown Farm at that time. Then I think in 85, I specifically went to Ballinspittle to see what was going on. And genuinely and sincerely, within 5 or 10 seconds, I immediately saw the face on the statue was moving. And I was just flabbergasted. I said, no, that couldn't be just happening. Just like, you surely you'd have to pray. And now there were hundreds of people around at this time and it was dark. So I immediately went away from the statue and started looking all around to see was there anything else moving. Everything else was perfect and normal. Went back to the statue and it was still happening. And I was, as I say, flabbergasted. And I did see the face, as we know, of Christ. I saw Oliver Plunkett. I saw Padre Pio.
So this is a significant happening for you in your life.
Absolutely. But I must tell you another little story. There was a salesman in a garage in Limerick. And the girls in the office asked him to bring them to Ballinspittle, which he eventually done, you know. So they went to Ballinspittle and he went around and didn't particularly see anything. And on the way back home to Limerick, the girls ran to Bernard, did you see anything? Did you say, no, I didn't see anything. And they were still chatting. Bernard, did you see anything? Was there anything moving, Bernard? And Bernard says, well, the only thing was moving, as you know yourself. He says, the statue has rosary beads hanging on the statue. And they were just blown in the grease a little bit. And there was silence. The girls eventually stopped and turned around and said to Bernard, Bernard, the rosary beads are fixed on the statue. And he got a shock because he saw the rosary beads waving.
What do you say, Larry, to many people who scoff and laugh and make jokes about the moving statues?
I'm sorry they didn't see it. Some of us are maybe very lucky that these things happen and we see them.
Do you think it's helped your faith?
Of course it has. Very much so. One of the things in my own fate, my father, as I said, was, and my mother were very religious. I mean, when I came home from Mass on a Sunday, my father would check what was the first reading, what was the second reading, who was the priest. He'd be checking. So he was very, very strong, but he was too pushy to be genuinely truthful. It's such a thing you've got to be careful if you're spreading the faith. Just be careful. How do you get it over? Don't be too pushy. Don't be too lax either. But be firm. But don't just be dog-headed about it, I suppose.
Ireland of today, of course, is a very different Ireland to the one you grew up in and knew so well. I mean, where do you think we're at? Do you think it's actually a time of even greater challenges, and it's kind of a more exciting time for people to be, you know, strengthening themselves in their faith, or do you feel saddened by what you see?
Well, I'll just put it in perspective. About a month ago, I was at a meeting in a hotel, and it was meetings for religious meetings, and they were ecumenical. I said, do you think Ireland is more secular than the United Kingdom? But I genuinely feel that Ireland has become more secular, less religious, even Christian than the United Kingdom. And I just put it in one respect how I see it. Take soaps. You won't see any sign of any religious objects, expressions or people. But if you watch United Kingdom soaps, quite often you'll see religious objects, you'll see religious things, comments, ministers. You don't see that here. So I just see we become very secular.
With all the racing and your time racing as well, going back to your days of racing, how did you fit in time to go to church?
As I say, I never lost my faith. I might have been stronger than I should have been. But Mondello's opened in 1968, and this to me is a little bit of a turning point. So the only place you could go to Mass if you went to Mondello was 9 o'clock in Marion. So that's 1968. I've been going to Marion Church, the 9 o'clock Mass, since then. And initially, I mean, you'd have 12 to 15 of the guys who were racing doing exactly the same as they did. They went to Mass afterwards. And even to this day, there's probably one or two turn up. And now I'm in Marian Church every Sunday night. I'm a minister of word, not as much as I used to be because they have a rota, but I'm a minister of the Eucharist. I'm a stand-in sacristan. I just help on a Sunday night, and I'm very happy to do that.
Larry Mooney, thank you very much for talking to us today.
God bless.